You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please pass the tissues after the tone.
Hi, Flora. This is Lily. I have a professional adulting emergency. My question is, why do some people cry more easily than others? I ask this from a personal interest. You know, it's been a stressful couple of months, and I hope you can help me answer this question. Thank you so much. Bye.
Hello?
Hey, Lily, it's Flora from Every Little Tear.
I was like wondering how long it was going to take till we got to the first joke, so I'm glad it's right off the bat.
Maybe we should start with your vitals. What is your tear output over time, your toot?
So, you know, it depends on the situation and honestly, like, the stress level. I was trying to, like, chart it out in my head. So maybe, like, a general mist is, like, at least a weekly, if not bi-weekly occurrence.
Weekly for the mist.
Weekly for the mist, yeah.
Maybe every couple days.
Yeah. But here's the problem. Every once in a while, there'll be, like, an actual downpour. And it'll be in the most, like, inopportune situations.
Okay, so then maybe, like, a monthly hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's COVID. Who's to say? What is time? I don't know.
Also, who's not crying? What kind of situations set you off?
It's a lot of, like, things that happen unexpectedly. I am not, like, a type A stick up my rear end type of person. I have fun, but I do like a plan and I do like a schedule.
I love it when people start with, I'm not a stick up my ass type of person, but I do like a schedule.
I just, you know, I do not think that having fun and having a schedule are mutually exclusive.
Like, you like a schedule for your weekend? Like, when do you want a schedule?
You know, like, when a package says it's going to be delivered at a certain time, I want that package delivered at a certain time. So, like, today, I was expecting to have my temporary dog fence delivered, and they only delivered half the box, and then it showed up early. So now, like, I have it early, but I don't have all of it. So, like, is that good because it's early or bad because there's only half of it? It was a lot to process. Man, this is, like, not making myself sound like an appealing human being to hang out with.
Yeah, you really are painting a picture.
Yeah.
Were there tears involved today?
That was a mist, which did lead to tears. So I was actually crying, like, 15 minutes before this started. So that was, I was like, well, this is both opportune and inopportune.
Besides schedule snafus, anything else get your water welling?
A lot of times when I'm fighting with people, I start crying. So, like, if I'm in a fight with my boyfriend or my parents, and, like, you know, when you're in your late 20s and you're crying during a fight, like, people don't really take you seriously. It's hard to be like, you know, Mom, let me live my life. I'm an adult. But you're crying and you're, you know, 27, almost 28.
Do you think crying makes you seem young?
I guess just in my mind, adults don't cry. Like, the bar for crying is increasingly high. So it's just, like, what you're allowed to cry for narrows down.
You think it narrows as you get older.
Yeah. And, like, when I called, I was, like, starting this new job, and I knew that in a couple months I was going to move in with my boyfriend, and it just seemed like, you know, holy shit, like, there's no part of my life that is not adult. I, like, one thing left on my checklist is how not to cry.
Like, it's like the one thing you still haven't worked out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I was like, I should figure this shit out.
What you want to know?
I guess I want to know, like, why. Like, I get tear ducts and I get keeping your eyes moist, But like, why crying as an emotional response?
Why do we cry?
Why do we cry? And then this is kind of like my wish. Was there ever a time in history where crying was like in vogue?
Lily, we have answers. So here to tear into your questions is Ad Vingerhotz.
Wait, tear into my questions.
You're tearing it up already.
Thank you.
Ad is a psychologist from the Netherlands.
Hi, Lily.
Hi.
And he is the leading crying researcher in the world. He has been studying this longer than you have been alive.
Now I'm working on it for over 30 years.
Wow, this is good. Okay, he is an expert.
For sure. He's also one of the only researchers who studies crying.
It's a really lonely business.
Even though crying is this universal human experience, it hasn't been well studied. And Ad says that's because people have written off crying as a kind of reflex, almost like a shiver when you're scared. But Ad doesn't see it that way. He thinks there is a lot to break down about why we well up.
Okay, good.
Crying is language, of course, in some way. The function of crying is all about communication. And it's a very powerful, strong signal. It's also a signal that is relatively hard to fake. So it's a reliable signal. And that's why it has so much impact on others.
Basically, Ad believes that we cry to communicate, that tears tell the people around us that we need something from them, that we need their help.
Oh.
But he also says it's a language that we use differently as we get older.
Oh, interesting.
You mentioned you thought that adults don't cry, that like we age out of tears.
Yeah.
But that's not what Ad's studies show. He's found as you grow up, your crying quotient goes up, particularly for certain types of tears.
First are the empathic tears. So we do not cry just for our own suffering, but also when we witness suffering in others, especially people related to us in some way, but also strangers, and even if we watch movies and so on.
Well, that makes sense because adults have a wider variety of understanding of what they're feeling. Like when you're able to understand outside of just the self.
Ad agrees.
The empathy tears, I think that reflects our emotional development. So it seems that we become more empathic, develop more empathic skills in adolescence.
So tears for other people, that's adult level weeping.
Okay.
Crying in happy situations is another sign of adulting.
We start crying not just because of negative situations, but also because of positive situations, for a reunion, for the birth of a child, for a victory, and so on. And that's also especially remarkable because it's limited to our adulthood. And I think that has to do with moral development. Because I think if you carefully study the positive situations that move us, it's about altruism, self-sacrifice, the good that overcomes the bad, eternal love, and that kind of things.
I like the moral part of it, that like as you develop a moral compass, it helps inform how you react to situations in the world.
I think it's time to wipe the snotty record clean. Like, crying is clearly not just for babies.
Yeah, no, clearly. How do we get everyone to get on board here?
We need a new moniker. We need to throw that crybaby language in the trash and come up with some new language, like sob sister.
I think you've got the gender bias playing in, which is huge.
Yeah, true. Misty Misters?
Do you have other options?
Senior Soakers?
Now I'm just imagining like people wetting themselves.
Okay. How about this one?
Okay.
Weathered Weepers.
I think that's approaching.
I don't hear you throwing anything out, Lily.
I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think. You have this. The reason I appreciate your puns so much is because I'm not great at them myself.
So Ad says crying is a language. It's a way of communicating your feelings. And as we get older, we have new reasons to let the tears tumble.
Mm-hmm.
But you also asked if you were born at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a time when misting was mighty.
Yes.
Okay.
Mighty misters. Done.
Mighty misters. I think you got it.
I think that works.
So were mighty misters ever mod? To answer that question, we need to bring on a new sobbing scholar.
I'm the weeping librarian.
Oh, that's delightful.
Tom Lutz wrote the book on crying.
Called Crying, the Natural and Cultural History of Tears, a kind of encyclopedia of everything you wanted to know about tears.
Tom says that he comes from a long line of criers.
I come from a weepy family. My dad was a big weeper.
Excellent. So we're starting from the same page.
Tom remembers a Thanksgiving back in the 80s, so he brought home his new significant other, and his siblings did the same, and they're all sitting around the table.
Dad would say grace at the beginning of a Thanksgiving dinner and start to cry a little bit, and the tears would go around the table, and everybody would get a little weepy and a little teary-eyed. And I noticed some of the outsiders, some of the new additions to the family, were just looking a bit confused and like, what exactly is going on here?
Aww.
So were there times in history when the weepers were in the majority? Tom says, yes.
Oh, good.
And we're going to hear all about that. The time when wet cheeks were tray chic after the break. All right, mighty mister, are you ready to hear why you were born at the wrong time?
Fire away. How long did I miss it by?
Our blubbering buff, Tom, says that a couple of millennia ago, weeping was in.
All of the great warrior heroes weep. In fact, Odysseus weeps.
In the Odyssey, do you remember that one?
I do.
Odysseus was this heroic warrior who separated from his family after winning the Trojan War. And he cries when he's reunited with his family. He cries when his honor is at stake.
Oh.
And he is not the only one. Fast forward to the 11th century.
In the Song of Roland.
This is an epic poem from France.
Where after Roland dies, 20,000 knights on horseback weep so profusely, so strongly that they faint and fall off their horses. Which is, on the one hand, a little moving, or on the other hand, it seemed to me to be like a Monty Python skit somehow, that all these knights falling off their horses weeping.
Could be right out of the Holy Grail.
Can you see yourself crying so hard you fall off a horse?
I mean, I've definitely like cried so hard that I've gone lightheaded, so I can totally see it. And like add being on top of a horse and wearing a full suit of armor, yeah, I'd be on the ground.
So across history, after a good brawl, warriors were bawling their brains out.
Okay. But that's also, anything sooner? More recent?
Yes. The eyeball juice apex.
Oh, God.
Happens centuries later.
Okay.
Tighten your corset.
Okay.
Strap on your monocle.
The 18th century is peak tears.
Age of Enlightenment, peak tears.
Is this the kind of thing where there's like young ladies sitting around at preparatory school, like practicing their tears as they did needlepoint? Like, that's what I'm imagining right now.
It definitely wasn't just confined to young women with their needlepoint.
Men, women, young people, all ages wept.
Say you went to the opera in the 1700s. You'd see widespread weeping, mass misting. Tooting was off the charts.
There's a great image of this in the film version of Les Liaisons Dangereuses, in which Keanu Reeves is just kind of, his tears are streaming down his face while he's watching the opera. It was considered a sign of how evolved you were.
In Dangerous Liaisons, Keanu is like a sensitive music teacher living in the 18th century.
The only movie I've seen with Keanu Reeves was Always Be My Maybe.
Well, maybe something to rent.
Okay.
Our salty savant, Tom, says At that time, there was no shame in a sprinkle. In fact, crying was expected in some professions.
Which ones?
Politics.
Excellent.
In 19th century in America, you needed to be able to weep on the stump or you just weren't going to make it in politics. All of the great politicians on every side of every issue wept. There were people in the Senate weeping. Lincoln cried at Douglas. It was just it was necessary and normal, and everybody did it.
I love the idea of crying at someone. That's like, I could get behind a presidential debate where like Trump and Biden are just crying at each other. That would be good television.
So you've got ancient war heroes crying. You've got boundless blubbering in the 1700s. And then 200 years ago, politicians were expected to cry because crying was a sign of trustworthiness and authenticity. And as it turns out, that still holds true today, and not just for politicians.
Wait, are the mighty misters actually mightier?
Are the mighty misters actually mightier? To answer that, we have to go back to our Dutch master of crying, Ad Vinkerhoeds.
Hello, Ad.
He has studied how people perceive criers. Just regular people like you or me trying to adult their way through a work meeting or a package being delivered early.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
So Ad found that when he showed people pictures of a crying person versus that same person dry-eyed, the participants he surveyed overwhelmingly judged the criers more positively.
In general, you can say that people feel that people who cry are warm and especially reliable and honest. And so they also like them to have as their neighbor and as their colleague. And they felt that these crying versions are more fit for reliable professions like teacher and judge and medical doctor.
Oh, this is really good news.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's one more thing that I think is going to delight you.
Okay.
We found that people who are more prone to cry also are more prone to help others. And they are also more prone to disapprove all kinds of transgressions.
Not only do you make a more appealing neighbor or colleague by letting the saltwater fly, Ad says you may even be a better person.
I have never been more excited. It's just like literally all my life I've been like, God damn it, why am I crying? I really don't want to be crying right now. But, you know, maybe this is a me problem. I'm the one who's judging myself, not everyone else.
Do you think you are going to judge yourself less harshly?
I think I might. I think this might have actually been a very therapeutic conversation, Flora.
I would love it if that were true.
Yeah.
If you could take some pleasure in your tears.
I wish I could find pleasure in the tears. I don't think I'm there yet, but that's something I'll work towards.
It's always good to have goals.
Yeah, I love goals with my schedules.
Mighty misters forever.
Forever. Do you have any information on how many super criers / mighty misters there are?
I don't know, but you know what we should do? We should poll our audience.
Yes.
What should we ask? Like, do you cry more than once a week?
I don't know. Maybe people have different considerations on what a lot of crying are. So like, just like, do you consider yourself a mighty mister?
Oh, I love that. That's even better. Yeah.
Let people kind of interpret it as they will. And then we can like have a crying version of the Tingly Butt Society.
Chap Cheeks could have a spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we can have mixers.
Wet chapped cheeks.
Oh, gross and also wonderful. I look forward to it.
Okay, listeners, do you identify as a mighty mister? When it's your party, do you cry if you want to? No need to mail us a ballot. You can vote right through the Spotify app. Spotify has this brand new polling tool that lets you answer right as you're listening. So if you're on your phone, just head over to Spotify, click on this episode, and scroll down. The Mighty Misting official global survey closes next Monday, October 5th. But we'll keep the Misting momentum going on Instagram at ELT Show.
Every Little Thing is produced by Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, So Wiley, and Dara Hirsch. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. ELT is a Spotify original podcast. I'm not crying. You're crying. Goodbye.